Good evening, and welcome to this special broadcast of the Pacifica Foundation's Local Station Board Candidates Forum. My name is Aaron Morris. I am the local election supervisor, and it is my privilege to be the moderator for tonight's engagement. This is the third of a total of five such forums in which we plan to showcase each of the 19 candidates' special talents. For the Local Station Board listener member election seats, the format of tonight's forum is a facilitated question and answer session followed by time for questions from listeners at home. I will ask a total of four questions and take four questions from call-in listeners. As agreed, each candidate will have an opportunity to address each question in such a way as a question will be directed toward a candidate, and that candidate will have 2 minutes to respond, followed by 1.5 minute responses from each remaining candidate, and finally a 30-second redress. We have timekeepers here in the studio, and all participants have agreed to adhere to time constraints. As the candidates are participating remotely, one candidate participating remotely, I have advised them that I will politely interrupt them at the 30-second mark and once again when their times have expired. I want to ask that all call-in listeners direct questions to all candidates. Your calls will be screened and questions directed at all candidates will be taken ahead of calls directed at one candidate. Also, please keep your questions concise, preferably 20 seconds or less, in order to leave time for the candidates' responses. The on-air studio line is 510-848-4425 or toll-free 1-800-958-9008. The order in which candidates will respond was determined by random selection, and with that, I want to begin by giving our candidates each 2 minutes to introduce themselves, starting with our first candidate, Mr. Lawrence Shoup.
From the United for Community Radio Slate, I am an author of four books, including Rulers and Rebels, A People's History of Early California. I have been a people's movement and working class activist in the trade union, peace, international solidarity, civil rights, ecological, and tenants' rights movements for over 40 years, working for ecological sanity and the radical redistribution of income, wealth, and power in our country. I am also a longtime, over 30 years, KPFA listener, and have been a guest on a number of shows over the past 20 years. In 1999, I did nonviolent civil disobedience and was arrested and jailed for defending our station. This year, I was asked to join another struggle, one aimed at ensuring that KPFA remains a community resource with unity, transparency, and democracy, the voice of the people's movements. I accepted the challenge to run for the local station board, and I'm proud to be a part of the United for Community Radio slate. There is no crisis at our community radio station that cannot be solved cooperatively, with hard work and goodwill on all sides. If elected, I pledge to work cooperatively with all the parties involved, the station that makes up Pacifica, the paid staff of about 40 people, the non-paid staff of about 235 people, and the tens of thousands of you, the listeners, to solve problems and move our community radio forward. We of the United for Community Radio Slate are not in control of the local station board, however, the current one. That control is in the hands of our opponents in this election. So without your help, we cannot implement our positive program, which includes regular community forums to help involve listeners. It involves creative fundraising, an active program council, and one big union for all workers at KPFA. Our many endorsers include labor leaders like Jack Heyman and Clarence Thomas, authors like Michael Perenni and Gray Brecken, and our own radio personalities Davey D. and Robbie Osmond. For solidarity, equality, peace, and social justice, vote UnitedForCommunityRadio.org. Thank you.
Everyone, that was Lawrence Shoup. Now, Ms. Andrea Pritchett.
Darren, and good evening to the listeners. My name is Andrea Pritchett, and I'm a school teacher here in Berkeley. I came to Berkeley in 1981 and started listening to KPFA at that time when I was a student at UC Berkeley. I have been involved in community politics for as long as since 1981. I'm a founding member of Berkeley Cop Watch, and I have opportunity to work very closely with folks in our community who are suffering from police brutality. And I've participated in a lot of different struggles, from anti-war to women's rights to rights for homeless people. And I've had opportunity, again, to see the incredible need that our communities have for a forum and for a place to organize and to publicize our issues. And so KPFA is giant in that. And it cannot be, you know, it can't be overstated how vital this resource is. So I decided 3 years ago to participate, and I have been on the board for the last 3 years. My focus, along with others who are part of Independence for Community Radio, and now the slate that I'm affiliated now, and the folks that are gathered under the same ideas, are United for Community Radio. We're working hands-on to try to help the station. The big problem is around development and what course we choose to move forward in. We have to maintain the vitality of our local activism while maintaining the Pacifica network and our ability to access national and international news and information. We need to be involved hands-on, not in protesting the station and boycotts of the station. We need to do the work of building the station. Thank you.
Everyone, that was Ms. Andrea Pritchett. Now our next candidate, Barbara Whipperman.
Hello, everybody. I'm Barbara Whipperman. I've been a long-time listener, very dedicated to KPFA, and I care deeply about the station and its very special programming. I'm a member of the Save KPFA slate, a support group of like-minded folks drawn together to sustain and strengthen local control over our station. The Pacifica Network is also a valuable resource, but a difficult entity to govern. If elected, I would hope through the LSB to contribute to improved communication and cooperation among all stations in the network. As an LSB member, I would put energy into revenue development outside of on-air fundraising. I've served as the KPFA LSB treasurer for almost 2 years, having been appointed by vote of the LSB based on my past professional work experience. I would offer to continue in that capacity, and I hope that you will all visit the Save KPFA website, savekpfa.org, to see more about our platform and our illustrious list of endorsers. Thanks very much. I hope you'll vote for Save KPFA.
Thank you. That was Barbara Whipperman. And now by phone we have Craig Alderson.
Hi, good evening, and I first want to thank the programmers, the programs tonight who gave up their time so we could have this forum, and thank the listeners for giving up their programs as well for this forum. I come to this election with more than 25 years in the labor movement and more than 30 years in community movements here in the Bay Area. I was one of those arrested at the station in 1999, and I know that throughout the decades, I've seen it. KPFA has been a critical source of information for activists. For the past 2 years, I have served as the secretary to the LSB. I was appointed by the board to this job, but I consider myself first just a listener who happens to have a very good seat in the show. And I can say as a listener that the first thing listeners want is progressive radio. That's good radio. Listeners come to KPFA in many ways, but good radio is what keeps them once they've tuned in. It's what builds the station and audience. And our listeners are the foundation of KPFA. When we mistreat them or take them for granted, we jeopardize the future of KPFA. Now, the station's purpose is to give people the tools and the knowledge they need to make progressive political and social change. We can have good radical radio. That sounds good, but it takes programming that's intelligent, well-produced, imaginative, challenging, entertaining, and even humorous. That's what we in Save KPFA mean by quality programming. And we need to do this. People these days don't even have to twist knobs to find another station on the dial. They just push
30 seconds
and they're gone. Our goal is to influence people's minds and change the world. And it doesn't matter how righteous our politics are, if only a few people are listening, we've failed. Our challenges are internal and organizational. We stand for local control. We support the staff, paid and volunteer, and we need evidence-based decision-making. The purpose of the LSB should be to do what is best for the station, not to advance the ideological agenda of any one group.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. Thank you. Your time is up.
Sure.
Thank you. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into the Q&A session. Questions were selected randomly from a list, and We will start with the question directed at Mr. Lawrence Shoup. First question, what constituencies, if any, do you feel you could be a liaison for to KPFA, and how specifically would you maintain communication with that particular constituency?
Well, I've been active in the people's movements for over 40 years. So I have extensive contacts with the ones I mentioned in my introductory statement, that is unions. I've been a union member in three different unions, and I still have contacts. The latest one was the National Writers Union that I was in. I also in the ecological movement. I'm a member of the Green Party. So I've been involved in ecological sanity, working towards ecological sanity. Our country and the world is headed for a catastrophe with this global warming situation. So that's a very important venue for me. I've been involved in the tenants union. I was one of the organizers of the Oakland Tenants Union, tenants movement. So I've, over my lifetime, I'm also an author. So I go out to various venues on that. So I could liaison with lots of different groups and take a attitude that our program with the United for Community Radio, that is community forums, that's something that's atrophied, unfortunately, under the leadership of the current group that's in power in the local station board. They haven't had a community forum in several years. And they've let the program council atrophy as well. There isn't any program council. There isn't a head of the program council. Those kinds of things can lead to liaison in the community that's going to be very useful for us to solve the problems of KPFA. So those are the things that are necessary, I think, and that's how I could be an important play an important role, is that I do have these connections, and I do have the United for Community Radio program, which would be the thing that we should be following in order to bring KPFA into a much better situation financially and in terms of its program and in terms of its connections to the community. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Lawrence Shoup. Now the question to Andrea Pritchett.
Yeah, the constituencies that I'm a part of are obviously the activist community and the teacher community. But actually more important than what my particular constituencies are is what I'll do for outreaching for the station. During one of the first things that I worked on when I was elected last time was to help to create an outreach committee. And at that time, we weren't even able to meet at the station. We were meeting over off-site at the grassroots house. But we kept at it. We met sometimes monthly, sometimes a couple times a month. And we organized tabling at events that are sponsored by KPFA, because a lot of people who are KPFA listeners are not necessarily members of KPFA or contributors to it. So our effort has been to create a visible, visual presence at community events like the Green Festival and different protests, Occupy, so forth, to let people know that we exist. But it's also, I think, for the future, what we have to focus on is activating the youth and building some loyalty among younger listeners. And that's a whole station effort that has to be from the programmers to the apprenticeship program. And what I'd like to do is help connect with schools, because I think there's ways that we can partner with schools from a high school level, the middle school level, and so forth in our areas to get students to help produce segments and to help them start to become, listen for themselves, listen for their own issues, and in this way build a loyalty that could last a lifetime. And that's what I think the value of community radio is that you listen for issues that involve you and people you know and love, as well as listening for a perspective that you can relate to. So that's part of what I'm interested in.
Thank you. That was Andrea Pritchett. The question now to Ms. Whipperman.
Yes, I think you could probably describe me as a typical listener. So I feel like I represent that constituency which we know is out there and supporting the programming, the large group of that constituency that was very upset when the morning show was removed abruptly. And I think that I will still be communicating with people that are listeners. I'll say that I found when I decided that I would run for this election, I started mentioning talking about KPFA more than usual to friends and acquaintances, and I ended up recruiting 7 new members. And I thought, my gosh, this is really easy if you just open your mouth and start talking. I also agree that with almost everybody else that the apprenticeship is extremely important. And I do think that that is a program that needs more support. I think it will be an avenue for gaining more listeners. And I think that one of the things that I would like to work on if I'm an elected member of this board is to support the improvement or expansion, I guess would be the thing to say, for the apprenticeship program.
Thank you. That was Barbara Whipperman. The question now goes to Mr. Anderson. Alderson, I apologize.
Well, you know, it seems to me that the chief constituency here are the listeners. The LSB is not a coalition of different community groups. We are, the members of the board are elected by listeners as a whole, as their representatives. And what we need on the board are people who listen to the listeners. When, as Barbara noted, when the morning show was abruptly canceled, there was a huge outpouring of outrage and upset over the action. But that was dismissed by people on their level, on the Pacifica level, and even some on the local board. KPFA, Pacifica, in effect, fired its listeners, and I think it did huge damage to the listener support and goodwill. So I think that's our chief constituency are the listeners. We're still recovering from that damage. And we reach all over Northern California and Central California. And I think we can bring those voices to the air. But it's wrong, I think, to view the LSB as a collection of, as a coalition of community groups here. The LSB is essentially an oversight board. It's a managerial board. It works with the station management to make sure that there's good programming on the air, good solid programming that brings these voices out.
Thank you. That was Craig Alderson. Mr. Shoup, you now have 30 seconds to redress.
I think we should try to stick to a positive tone here. We've already heard the opposite side to ours saying the Pacific is difficult, mentioning the morning show, which is a very complicated issue. I can't cover it in 30 seconds. But they're going on the attack rather than talking positively about how we can improve KPFA. Pacifica is a whole nother issue. It's an elected board by all the Pacifica stations, and we should talk about it more. But let's try to stay to a positive. How can we improve KPFA?
Thank you. That was Lawrence Shoup. Now our next question will be first directed to Ms. Pritchett. The question, the bylaws require some power sharing between the local station board and station staff. As a listener-elected delegate, what are skills and or new ideas you would bring to settle differences on the board regarding how decisions should be made?
Well, I mean, I think that the governance structure of Pacifica, I think as many people have noticed, is needs improvement. And there are some proposals being circulated that the LSB will vote on in December that are amendments to the bylaws of Pacifica. And I think that's important. I think it's important to look at, do we need the size of the boards to be as big as it is? What do we need to require? Does Pacifica need to have as many in-person meetings as the bylaws currently state? Are the elections even conducted in a way that really supports democracy? These are tough questions. But at the end of the day, I believe in the Pacifica network because I believe in the local project. And I think the local project works when we're able to maximize local participation in the local station. And KPFA can become your all-day station if we're also able to use Pacifica as a network that can help promote national and international programs and make that content available to the stations and the affiliates so that one station doesn't have to be the big national station. We are a network. And so I really believe that the local station board definitely needs to deal with what is before it. We need to come up with our own budgets and be responsible. for realistic budgets, not just say, oh, gosh, we have a balanced budget because next year we're going to get, oh, let's name a number and make it up. I don't believe in that. I believe in realistic budgeting. And I also believe that when it's time to do layoffs, sad as it is, cruel as it may be, it has to happen if we want the station to survive. And so some people want to say that we're making political purges or all this kind of stuff. Other people understand that we go by a seniority list and we're just trying to keep the station solvent.
Thank you. That was Andrea Pritchett. The question now goes to Ms. Whipperman.
could you repeat the question, please?
Absolutely. The bylaws require some power sharing between the local station board and station staff. As a listener-elected delegate, what are skills and or new ideas you would bring to settle differences on the board regarding how decisions should be made?
Well, that question I'd like to just separate so that I'm really talking to the second part of it. And I think the times that the LSB and the station staff cooperate are not the ones, in my experience, that have had the most difficult communication. I think the most difficult communication occurs on the board. And I made a suggestion many years ago, attending a LSB meeting when it was held in the freight and salvage, and it was quite a gathering. There were a lot of people in the audience. And my suggestion at that time was that I felt the board needed to take part in some skilled learning of nonviolent communication. Now, it's not as though we, you know, shout epithets at each other, at least not very often. And however, I think that this would really facilitate the communication and help us to discover and hold on to the ideas that we do agree about.
Thank you. That was Barbara Whipperman. The question now to Mr. Alderson.
Sure. Well, you know, the question said that the bylaws require some power sharing between the LSB and station staff. And in fact, they don't. There's nothing in the bylaws that states that. There are staff representatives on the board, but there's no power sharing. And I think one of the things we need to get past here is this sort of ideological mist that we seem to find ourselves in that derails us from actually understanding what's going on. I mean, questions like this are not helpful. In terms of what the skills are, you know, I bring years of working in organizations that have taught me that you need to be respectful, you need to listen to what people are saying, speak to the issues, don't speak to personalities. All of those, I think, are fairly basic and good sense organizational skills. Now, what we've seen in the last year, or actually two, are essentially dirty tricks where people have a minority of folks on the board have attempted to manipulate the process, most recently in August when they denied the board the chance to have a budget. I don't have any problem with having arguments. We can vote things up or down. That's the way democracy works. We can have those arguments, and we should, because we bring lots of different views. But when we attempt to spike the system and play dirty, that doesn't advance anything, and it just damages the whole institution of the LSD and of KPFA in general.
Thank you. That was Craig Alderson. Now the question to Mr. Shoup.
Yeah, what was just said is needs to be answered, because the reason why that people did not participate in that budget is because they were given the budget at 6 o'clock on a Friday evening, and they were told, you have to vote on this budget the next morning. The budget was 70-some pages long. It was impossible to do it unless you stayed up all night. So that's why they boycotted it and said we had to have the budget discussion another week. So that wasn't sabotaging anything. That's a totally unfair the thing that was just said about our group, the United for Community Radio. As far as this question, the power sharing, I think the ideas that we have particularly the idea of having more community forums. In fact, community forums at all. There haven't been any community forums, even though it's in the bylaws, under the regime of this particular local station board. They haven't had community forums. We need to have community forums so we can make connection with our listeners, and therefore we can get a positive reinforcement of the ideas we're having and get some ideas from the listeners about fundraising, about the program council, and those things that are necessary to move forward. So we need to have those forums in order to get the ideas to have a good connection to the listeners.
Thank you, Lawrence Shoup. Now 30 seconds back to Ms. Pritchett.
Yeah, I guess the quality that I would bring to the board is that I am willing to listen, and I'm also willing to try to fulfill the mission that we've been given. The local station board is supposed to set up and facilitate processes that help us to live into our mission of ensuring that programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation. We're not supposed to decide what programs go on, but boy, we need a program council, and I'm determined to help there be one.
Okay, thank you. The next question will be first directed to Ms. Whipperman. Do you see KPFA as a resource for journalistically sound news and information not available elsewhere, including news and views of groups rarely heard from in mainstream media, or as a platform for groups that are underrepresented in the mainstream media? What is your understanding of the difference between the two?
Well, I see KPFA's strength as the first description that you mentioned. And if what you mean by a platform for groups that are underrepresented, if you mean an extreme version of that, I would call that public access media, something like public access television, where people who want to deliver a message to the public, I think they sign up and get up and do it. And there isn't a lot of production skill used to help the programming be what I would call professional and listenable. I think that I'm not even sure that the people who are saying we need more of a community station really want it to be a public access type radio station. I certainly don't, and I can't believe that everybody else who's talking about more of a community-based radio want it that way either.
Thank you. That was Barbara Whipperman. Now to Craig Alderson.
Well, sure. I mean, of course I see KPFA as a resource. What we need is news and information that actually informs people and helps motivate them to get out and change the world. And I think we get that by providing good information, solid information, and views, and intelligent information. I don't think we get anywhere by yelling at people, frankly. We don't change minds that way. I think the what we've had, say, on the news program in the past, the labor beat, environmental justice beat, capital beat, those have all been great. Those actually are unique to KPFA, or they were. Some of them don't exist anymore, but those programs. But in any case, I do think that's the way to go. And I would concur with Barbara that I don't think an open mic, throwing the mic open to anybody who comes forward, is really effective in terms of bringing out the story and bringing out the analysis that helps not only those underrepresented communities, but all the communities understand what's really going on. So
30 seconds.
Yes, that's, I guess, what I would say.
Thank you. That was Craig Alderson. Now to Mr. Shoup.
I don't see any, in terms of the question, I don't really see any difference between fulfilling journalistically sound news and information available not available elsewhere, and being a platform for underrepresented people in the mainstream media. I think they go together. You fulfill one, you fulfill both. What KPFA is really good at, and what I want to see more of, is interviews with rank-and-file activists. like when KPFA goes and interviews people doing occupations, the Occupy movement. That is very important. That's very powerful. And that connects us to those activist movements, the people's movements that are the ones that have really changed. If you look at American history, it's been small groups that have changed very important things. It was the abolitionist movement that started in the 1820s and fought and finally was able to end slavery. The women's movement fought for decade after decade in order to get the woman's right to vote. The anti-war movement has been as successful. The union movement was another one that fought for many decades to get very much. It's those activists, and that's where the cutting edge where KPFA can be and should be.
Thank you. That was Lauren Shoup. Now to Ms. Pritchett.
Yeah, I think of KPFA at its best when it operates most, I guess my preference is as a school for journalism. As a school for journalism with the highest standards of professionalism and integrity and love of the truth. And I don't think that means that we cannot hear from activists on the front line. I don't think we need to have our news and information, you know, it's only professional if it comes from the lips of a radio professional. I think that citizen journalists have a role to play in a station where 80% of the talent here is unpaid. I think KPFA exists because it exists in a community, and that the relationship of the station to the community is the oxygen. That's what makes it possible. So yes, I would love to see if KPFA could think of itself as a school where we're training journalists, and that we could forgive. Yes, sometimes in community radio, you're going to get glitches, you're going to get things that aren't quite what you planned and maybe aren't the best that they can be. But hopefully, in a supportive environment, people can grow and become their best journalistic selves. And I don't need, you know, we don't need to do party line around here. I want diversity of opinion. I think KPFA is at its best when we're sponsoring debates and when we're hearing from places we don't normally hear from. And when we are putting that mic into the far reaches of our community and those roads less traveled. So I don't necessarily see these things as exclusive of each other. I think you can have absolutely high journalistic content standards and access to people who are not radio professionals.
Thank you. That was Andrea Pritchett. Now 30 seconds back to Ms. Whipperman.
Well, I guess I'd like to say that I think it would... In spite of the fact that people are saying it's fine to have a platform for particular groups, I agree that we have many groups who get their word in just by virtue of the programming that we do. But I still am fearful about the movement to have more of a public access type programming.
Okay, thank you. That was Barbara Whipperman. We're going to take a second to pause for station identification.
You're tuned in to listener-supported 94.1 KPFA Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. It's 8.03 p.m., and we have preempted our regularly scheduled program for our local station board election forum.
Thank you. Before I ask the final question in this portion of the debate, I want to remind the listeners at home that we will be taking calls in the studio for your questions to the candidates. The on-air studio line is 510-848-4425 or toll-free 1-800-958-9008. Again, the number is 510-848-4425, toll-free 1-800-958-9008. This is Aaron Morris, the local election supervisor here at KPFA, and I'm moderating tonight's debate. We have the final question in this portion of the debate, and the question will go directly to Mr. Alderson. How can KPFA increase its outreach to young people?
Well, I guess my first question is why young people only? I think KPFA can and should increase its outreach to everybody. And I don't see that increasing it to young people who don't it's not a demographic that spends a lot of its time on the radio. Okay, so I'm not sure why we're focusing on that group, but I think our task here is to increase our outreach to all ages, young, middle aged, and so forth, people in their 20s and their 30s. And I think the way we do that is, again, by coming back to good, solid programming that that is challenging, that's intelligent, that gives them information about what's happening in the world, gives them reasons to get out and become active and to change it. Now, the and I'll pause there.
Okay, thank you. That was Craig Alderson. Now to Mr. Shoup.
Yeah, the previous speakers mentioned that programming is very important, but under the control of the Save KPFA group, the program council has atrophied. There's no program council. It hasn't been set up. It's been allowed to atrophy for years. So you can't have good programming without some program council, which has to be handled carefully, of course. But you get new ideas for program through a program council, and that's one of our planks, and we want to have that. Another thing, way you bring in young people is you try to improve your technology. KPFA is somewhat backward on technology, and this is a question of funding to some degree. So we need creative ways to do funding, and we have some in the United for Community Radio slate. We need to be talking to people, I think, one-on-one and trying to get them to subscribe to KPFA at all kinds of different events. Whether it's KPFA events or other events, progressive events, we should be talking to people directly with forms to get people to subscribe to KPFA and get them to join the station, to let them know about it. So that's what we should be doing, going out to places where youth are involved and connecting with them with some information about KPFA and why our station really has a lot to offer.
Thank you, Lawrence Shoup. Now to Ms. Pritchett.
Yeah, well, I just want to get, the word typical listener came up, and I think that's an interesting concept to challenge a bit. Because right now, the typical listener of KPFA is a white man over 50. And what we need to be careful of is that that's the money tree. Those are the guys with the money that if you give them the program they want, they will cough up the money that will keep the station going for a while. But those of us with a longer-term vision of KPFA understand that we have to win the loyalties of young people now so that as they grow, that this becomes their station. As they're going to get jobs one day, God willing, they're going to find themselves in a position to be able to give. And if KPFA is the station that saw them through those years of protest, saw them through, was there when they needed it, I know that they'll be there when we need it. So we've got to think long term, and yes, I do think we have to understand that we had youth radio in this building. Youth radio got kicked off and booted down to Oakland. Guess what? They went national. Youth radio is huge, and that was a big missed opportunity for KPFA. So I think we need to give up some airtime to young people, and we need to allow programming that may not be the most lucrative right now, but it will pay off in the years to come.
Thank you, Andrea Pritchett. Now, Barbara Whipperman.
As far as attracting younger people, I agree that we need to engage a lot more new technologies, some that I'm not familiar with, that's for sure. But I have often had the thought that if there were someone to organize it, we could have content for teachers. Programs could be reinterpreted as lesson plans. And I don't know if there are people interested in doing the work for that, but it seems to me that as there are many teachers, we have a wonderful education program on KPFA, and I think that there are many teachers who might use the program for classroom. And as far as the program council, I want to tell everybody that, in fact, Save KPFA is not against a program council. The LSB voted for a version, a format for a program council after the interim general manager and the program director said that it was not the form that was offered to them was not workable. And that was the form that we approve was in November of last year. And the general manager is working on it.
Thank you, Ms. Wipperman. 30 seconds back to Mr. Alderson.
Sure. Well, first, I didn't use the word the phrase typical listener, and I don't know where that idea comes from. Let's stick to evidence and facts here and not our own notions here. But the fact is, young people don't listen to the radio. I mean, working people listen to the radio. That's why we have strong listening responses during drive time. Those are working people. And I think, sure, young people are the future of the country, but let's look at who's actually listening to the radio and start there. Now, a second what Barbara said, we do have a program council. It needs to be fully implemented. That's something that I would really like to work on because I support the formula for that program council. And technology, of course, is something we need to pursue. That's a no-brainer. We can do that. We have the ideas. We have the people to work on it. We can even get the money for it. Sure, of course we can do that. But I think we need to focus not on just this notion that, you know, young people are somehow the salvation for KPFA.
Thank you.
Programs,
Mr. Allison, you've run out of time.
Okay, sure.
Thank you very much. This brings the top half of our debate to a conclusion, and now it is time to move on to questions from callers. Again, I'm going to ask the callers, when you call in, please direct questions at all candidates. That is, ask general questions. Your calls will be screened, and questions directed at all candidates will be taken ahead of calls directed at one candidate. Also, please keep your questions concise, preferably 20 seconds or less, in order to leave time for candidates' responses. The on-air studio line is 510-848-4425 or toll-free 1-800-958-9008. I believe we have a caller, Carol Lynn.
Hello.
Hi. You there, Carolyn?
I am Carolyn.
Okay, go ahead.
My question is, I have heard welcome back to KPFA to an awful lot of people speaking on a variety of issues. And I would like to see a broader spectrum of activists invited to be guests on the radio programs. Speaking as one of the activists out there who's never been on a KPFA program except once in a while the news calls me, which I'm very honored to have that happen. But how will you propose to open the door to a broader spectrum of people working for peace and justice in the community? Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. The question is going to go first to Mr. Shoup.
How do you open the door to a broader spectrum of activists? I think we have a fairly broad spectrum of activists now, so it's from the participation of the listeners that we can learn about other activists that we're not connected to. And, of course, this comes in with the themes that I've been putting out here today, an active program council that can talk to the listeners about what programs they want, and so then we can get a broader spectrum of activists, and having forums, community forums, where we listen to the listeners and have them tell us what they see happening to KPFA and what they would like to see happen to KPFA. That's how you get a broader spectrum of activists, is by participation in the community. And as the United Community Radio Slate, that's what we're all about. We want to be the voice of the progressive people's movements, and we want to be active in the community. And so that's why we're advocating for community forums, which have not taken place for several years, and for Program Council, which is not in existence right now and should be in existence. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Lawrence Shoup. Now to Ms. Pritchett.
Well, I think it's very interesting, the idea of a broader spectrum of activists. You know, KPFA is called Free Speech Radio, and that's supposed to be our mission. And sometimes I wonder how much free speech people really want to have, and whether or not we really just want to kind of hear people that we know and love, or if we're willing to hear really diverse points of view. And I think that the way to make that possible is to really have a functioning program council. But I do want to mention that it was said that a program council was voted for by the majority of the LSB. I do want to remind you that program council, that iteration of it, was passed with the idea that it would only be staff and management basically on that program council, that, you know, our amendment to support the inclusion of listener representatives was voted down by the current majority. So if United for Community Radio gets a majority, we are definitely committed to having more community input in making those decisions of the program council. And I think that the challenge for us is to create a process that allows for inclusion of new programs, as well as the ones that, you know, everybody's got the programs that they love. But what we have to understand is this is a commons. This is a shared space. So just because you have the money to contribute to a particular program, I don't think anybody should be able to buy airtime.
Thank you. That was Andrea Pritchett. The question now to Ms. Wipperman.
Well, this is an interesting question because we're moving into the area of the control of programming. And that is really not the responsibility of the LSB. It's the responsibility of the general manager and the program director. And we have an interim general manager now and an assistant for him and no program director. But it is still the responsibility of the LSB to search out candidates for the general manager position and the program director position to find qualified people with experience in radio who know how to manage such a operation. And they then, in turn, are responsible for the programming, the schedule, the rotation of programs, the changes. And I beg to differ about the model of program council that was voted on last November. For many years of administrative experience myself, this sounds like the kind of structure that could really work. When I hear descriptions of very large program council with lots of input, it just sounds to me like a parallel to the LSB, where you have lots of people who disagree with each other arguing. I think it's much more efficient to have a working committee, and it did include the department heads, the general manager, the program director. As I remember, it included two members of the unpaid voluntary staff and one representative from the LSB.
Thank you. That's Barbara Wipperman. Now, the question finally to Mr. Alderson.
Sure. Well, I do agree that there should be a broad spectrum of activists and issues on the air. But this is the thing I want to say. Activists are activists, and organizers are organizers. That's their job, to move people. I think KPFA's function is to inform people, to give them the facts, the information, the knowledge, the analysis that they can use to become active. And I think that's what KPFA needs to focus on. You know, it does that by building relationships with organizations in the community that are organizing around issues. And we get the support, we get the involvement and the participation and the relationship with various communities by covering the issues that are important to them. You know, I don't think we should necessarily just open the mic to anybody who's active on a program. We need to take that issue and crystallize it and give it back in a form that's understandable and focused so that other people can understand it and get motivated as well. That's really the role of KPFA.
Thank you. That was Craig Alderson. Our next question, I believe, comes from Paul. Paul, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Paul. You have a question?
Yes. Which of the candidates would support a journalism teacher at a high school bringing in a journalism class in order to put journalism, say freshman journalism students, on the air as a program in order to turn that into, say, you know, a program for KPFA? That way it brings in young people and future actors.
Thank you, Paul. The question is going to go first to Ms. Pritchett.
Well, as a teacher, I immediately see all the problems with that proposal. I think that when I say that KPFA should operate as a school, what I mean is that what we have in place here at KPFA already is really powerful, is the apprenticeship program. What we also have at KPFA is we have KPFB. We have a whole nother signal that we could be utilizing as a staging ground for basically new journalism for students, for that kind of thing. And that's a place to cultivate and grow new talent, and as they graduate, to get them onto the big signal, get them onto KPFA. But the challenge for us is to make room for them. Because if all we continue to do is have the same programs that are so well loved and we're so loyal to them, but guess what? Our membership is dropping. Our membership has dropped from paid subscribers, from 22,000 down to about 19,000. So at the same time, we have to understand that we need to find ways to get new voices on the radio and ways to excite and create a dynamic culture. And maybe one of the things that's happening is we need new blood. So I love the idea of getting journalism students involved in KPFA. Really, I think about it in terms of having people from the apprenticeship program kind of co-produce some segments with high school kids or kids from different areas. I love to think about Fruitvale, West Oakland, Richmond. If those kids had an apprentice come to their school and say, what are the issues here in Fruitvale or Fremont High or McClyman's High School? What's going on here, guys? What's going on in your neighborhood? And then those kids could hear. And I think young people do listen to the radio. They just don't listen to our radio. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Andrea Pritchett. Now the question to Ms. Wipperman.
Well, as far as having a regular program of high school journalism class students come in, that is a big issue in programming. And as I said before, I think it's up to an internal program council and the management of the station to work that out. But I notice that there are programs that are begun on our station as occurring maybe once a month and once or twice a month. You know, it varies. These are the ways I see new programming coming in. So I'm not quite sure what the expectations of the caller were, Paul, whether you were thinking of a regular one-hour show every week. I'm not sure that that's the way a new program comes to us. And the other, let's see, I had one other thing to say about that, and I have forgotten it. So I'll skip it.
Thank you. That was Barbara Wipperman. The question now to Mr. Alderson.
Sure. Well, we actually already have a program that brings in people and gives them training so they can do news coverage. It's the News Department Internship Program. And I think that's a great program. I think it deserves more publicity, and I think it deserves to be, gotten out into the community to draw people in. And that will bring in, high school kids, college-age kids. It's there. And coming back to the earlier question about journalistic standards, it's there to provide people with the training so they can go out and cover the demonstrations and cover the events that KPFA is known for covering when nobody else covers these things. That's why we had 15,000 people marching in the streets in 1999, because KPFA covers this stuff. But again, we don't want to sound like a public access station, I think. That just drives people away. That's one reason our listener base has been dropping. The disruption to the programming, the quality of the programming, it's exactly a symptom that Andrea mentioned. And we don't want to sound like a college station, but, my regards to CalEx and so forth. I think we need to have our standards, and I think we need to have training and bring people in to bring them up to standard so we can sound good and incisive and sharp and focused.
Thank you. That was Craig Alderson. Now, Mr. Shoup.
Yeah, I think that the journalism students and the professors should work with the news department interim program and the apprenticeship program to work out something appropriate for these students and their level. I think they can learn and advance, but they have to work through the existing framework and can't just come in and take over a show. That would be my opinion.
Thank you. That was Lawrence Shoup. Our next question, I believe, comes from Nicole. Nicole, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Nicole. You have a question?
Yeah, I'm 26. I listen to KPFA every day, and I wanted to know what the candidates feel about paid staff at KPFA, and if they were elected to the station board, what they would do to further, you know, whatever they feel should happen to paid staff at KPFA. Thanks.
Thank you, Nicole. The question is going to be first addressed by Ms. Whipperman.
Well, I personally and Save KPFA support both the paid staff and the volunteer staff. And as far as increasing paid staff or support for them, this all comes back to the big naughty problem of fundraising. And it's true that to increase the number of paid people working here or increase the equipment needed for paid and volunteer staff, this is the big thing we have to concentrate on. I really look forward to some quite different approaches to fundraising as we go forward after this election and with a new LSB. I hope we'll be able to concentrate on that.
Thank you. That was Barbara Whipperman. Now to Mr. Alderson.
Sure. Well, you know, KPFA has paid and unpaid staff. Each have their own qualities, and each have they bring different things to the station. And I think, you know, we appreciate that. That's really great. There are things paid staff can do that unpaid staff can't do. And unpaid staff bring passion and the love of their program to the station. It's all good. I think the real issue here is not paid staff per se, but it goes back to the issue of local control and local management. It's really up to the management of the station to decide the balance of paid and unpaid staff and the programming and that sort of thing. And what we've seen over and over again is intervention by Pacifica in local fairs that really disrupt the base of our station. You know, our station knows best what serves our community here, not Pacifica, not people from Texas or Washington or anything like that. And we've, you know, most recently seen this edict come down that stations across the country are supposed to cut $1 million, and that would cause more layoffs here at KPFA. And when pressed on this issue, Pacifica management couldn't justify it. That's one reason, as Mr. Shoup mentioned earlier, that the budget was presented so late. The local station was responding to issues from the Pacifica level in a project. And it's not as though people on the board here weren't aware of the budget already. They'd been studying it for the summer already. So it's not like nobody, this came as a surprise to everybody.
30 seconds.
But I think, I'm sorry, I think we have seen over and over again that, that paid or unpaid, the issue really is local control and having an ability by the local management to manage the station. Both paid and unpaid staff contribute a lot. And I think they're both wonderful as station managers.
Thank you.
It's two weeks to
fly. Thank you, Mr. Alderson. The question now to Mr. Shoup.
We just heard those words, local control, again. I see this as a parochial, Republican light type of idea of states' rights. KPFA is a national force. We are a national force, and we should be a national force. We go for local control. We go back into the Bay Area and not reach out. There's 180 affiliates working with Pacifica, four other stations around the country. We should be working closely with them, cooperating, sharing ideas, sharing fundraising plans, and working together to make community radio a more powerful thing around the country. Local control is the opposite of that. So I'm totally against this constant harping on local control. That's simply wrong in my view, and it's a Republican-like program. As far as the paid staff and unpaid staff, There's 40 paid staff, or a little bit less than 40. I've heard it's 38, but it might vary. Around 40 paid staff, and there's 235 unpaid staff. Guess who does most of the work on KPFA? 75 to 80% of the work is done by unpaid staff. Yet, the paid staff have a small union, a craft union, where they protect themselves, the CWA, and I'm a unionist. Unions should protect their workers, of course. But let's why not have a big union including everybody? You get the divisions if you only have a small paid staff versus a, to some extent, conflicting with a much bigger unpaid staff. There should be one big union at KPFA. We should all be working together. We should be working for the interests of the listeners, of the working class of this country, and we shouldn't be narrowly down to a craft union that's only interested in itself. And to some extent, that's what's going on, unfortunately.
Thank you. That's Lauren Shoup. Now, Ms. Pritchett.
Can I get you to say the question, repeat the question, please?
Mr. Nicole.
Okay. Nicole, are you still on the line?
No, she's not.
Okay.
I thought you said Ms. Pritchett was
on. No, Ms. Pritchett.
On the LSP. And so we have paid staff, unpaid staff. We do have staff representatives. I think there's a lot of missed opportunities on previous local station boards, and I'd really love to see us work together in a new way. You know, I know that, yes, the layoffs that happened that ultimately led to the morning show not being on the air anymore diverted, I think, a lot of really great attention from the building of the station. And I would love to see the paid staff and the unpaid staff and the LSB work together on a development program that makes us have a bigger pie. So we're not fighting about who gets laid off and who doesn't, even though we have a seniority list. And if another round of layoffs come, it's not going to be a surprise or a purge who's going to get laid off. It's a matter of seniority. But instead of having to go there, why don't we work together? And I think there are very creative development plans that have been offered. I know that Henry Knorr is an LSB member currently who put together a 26-page overview of the tech abilities and resources that KPFA and all the other stations in the network have, looking forward to how we can actually implement a renovation of our online presence. That's real work. There's also a proposal to migrate our listenership online so that instead of getting one little DVD in the mail, you know, in response as a gift for your pledge, that you could become an online member and have access to hundreds of speeches and DVDs and content generated by and through KPFA that could really invigorate our membership and our fundraising options. But that's a matter of staff and LSB and listeners working together.
Thank you. That was Andrea Pritchett. I believe we have a Nancy on the line with a question.
Yeah, I do. On the question of the paid and unpaid staff and how they're organized and one big union and all of that, I would like to ask each of the people there whether or not the local station board for which they are candidates has anything to say about what paid and unpaid staff do in terms of organizing themselves into unions or whatever. I'm kind of confused because I'm looking at a local station board with certain roles and responsibilities. So what does anybody or the whole board have any responsibility for that whole issue of what workers at KPFA do about being represented by union or not, or one union, or more than one, or whatever? That's my question.
Thank you, Nancy. The question's going to go to first Mr. Alderson.
Well, as somebody who's also spent 25 years in the labor movement, I can tell you that one of the fundamental principles of the labor movement is that workers get to choose their own representative. And it's not the place of the LSD to decide how many bargaining units there are going to be, or who's going to be representing those bargaining units. And the fact is that the workers there have chosen CWA, which I think describing CWA as a craft union is nonsense. That's not what they are, and that's not what's going on here. But it's up to the workers at the station to decide. It's inappropriate for us to be talking about one big union here. If anybody's interested in that, they should become a volunteer at KPFA or get a job at KPFA, and then they can talk with their coworkers about who they want to represent them. Not the place of the LSB to do that.
Thank you. That was Craig Alderson. The question out to you, Mr. Hsu.
On this question, the craft union, in my view, it is a craft union because an industrial union is the opposite of the craft union. That's the one that organizes the entire shop. A craft union organizes professionals in a very narrow way and has an unfortunate history of being exclusionary to various other groups. So I'm advocating for an industrial union that is for everyone in a workplace to be organized in the union and work together for the interests of the entire union and the entire class, that is the working class. So that's my view on that, and I think that's correct. Now, the LSB's role. There isn't any formal, as far as I know, in the bylaws, and I have read them over. I'm not an expert. I haven't been on the board, so I might be missing something. But my understanding is it doesn't say anything about unionization, and the unionization was just, as many unions are, workers organize in their own interests, and they say that we're an organization and you should recognize us. There's a regular process that has been established by the 1930s laws on these matters that were fought for by rank and file workers who didn't have those rights before. So the union gets organized and then the management recognizes the union. That's how it works. And it's true that the local station board doesn't have a role directly in that, but the local station board does have the prestige of having been elected by the listeners, and therefore can have some influence on encouraging people to discuss with themselves what is the better way to organize KPFA as a union shop. And I would advocate and I would argue that organizing one big union for all the workers is going to eliminate a lot of this factionism, fighting, and unfortunate problems that result from that, because everyone's going to be working together for one end and one goal.
Thank you. That was Lawrence Shoup. Now to Ms. Pritchett.
Well, the guidance we're given from the bylaws, there's two places that I'm looking. One is, it says here that in the role of the LSB is to ensure that the station works diligently toward the goal of diversity in staffing at all levels and maintenance of a discrimination-free atmosphere in the workplace. Now, it is kind of problematic. How would we do that? I think it's best done because the other power that the LSB has is to do an annual evaluation of the general manager. And we do have some say in the hiring and firing of general managers. So if it's clearly communicated to the GM that, yes, we believe that the paid and unpaid staff should be represented and allowed to organize and encouraged to do so, that could become a criteria for evaluation. I do want to point out that the current LSB majority had in evaluating the GM had the opportunity to gather input from paid staff and from unpaid staff and various constituencies. And I'm sorry to say that the current LSB majority did not feel that it was important to gather input from the unpaid staff. And they actually voted against doing so. So I guess that gives you a sense of what's in store for unpaid staff in terms of support that they can expect from the LSB, depending on which candidates you choose.
Thank you. That's Andrea Pritchett. Now to Ms. Wipperman.
I wish I remembered the vote that my colleague sitting to my left was just talking about. I'm not sure it happened exactly that way, but maybe it did. I know that Save KPFA feels very strongly in support of not only the union staff, which I personally consider to be carrying the backbone of the station, and they make it possible for all of the volunteer programmers to have their airtime. That's because there are major programs that take the lead in raising money for the station. I also don't think there is quite so much division between paid and unpaid staff as some people like to discuss. I think there is a lot of cooperation that goes on. I think there's a lot of mutual respect between the two groups. And I think that's the sort of thing that we should encourage. And I do think that there could be an organization that both paid and volunteer staff belong to. And that could even be in addition to the union that exists for those people who are working for salaries.
Thank you. That was Barbara Whipperman. Our next caller, I believe, is Ken.
Hello.
Hi, Ken. You have a question?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Concerning fundraising and the gifts that are offered, I think there are a lot of young people that listen to the station, but being in California, where the cost of living is so high, they cannot afford to purchase the CDs and the books that you offer for however much money. As valuable as the information is, could this be something that needs to be addressed? I think the information is getting out by word of mouth, but it's not coming in as funds to the radio station. That's my question.
Thank you, Ken. That goes first to you, Mr. Shoup.
It's true that youth in our society, unfortunately, are getting the dirty end of this austerity stick, which is now being forced upon our country and in large part upon the world. So youth are the ones that tend to be unemployed. Youth are the ones that tend to be poorer and have trouble with their young lives. And so they can't afford to purchase the fundraising gifts, which means that it gets back to fundraising and how we can have a situation where that maybe gifts could be much less expensive. And that means we need to get back to our fundraising program and have a creative fundraising program by reaching out to the community. And I mentioned before that my plan that United for Community Radio, also we've been discussing, is that at all progressive and youth events, we go, the activists of KPFA, go there with a brochure about KPFA and a pledge form that can be filled out. And so we don't have to do always the on-the-air ones are very important, but you can only do those for so long, and we're all getting tired of those. So what we need to do is go directly to the people. And that's, of course, why we need to have the other things, the on-air forums, community forums that we at United for Community Radio have been pushing. Having those forums would be very important to reach out to the community and get some direct support that way. That's a fundraising idea. We need more fundraising ideas of all sorts, because that's one of our main problems, to maintain the station and not go into crisis, is to work on fundraising. So, Ken, you have an important point there raising that we have to talk about and work on fundraising. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Lawrence Shoup. Now the question to Ms. Pritchett.
I think, Ken, you raise an excellent point. And I have noticed that there are some programs that really push just the basic membership. For $25, you can become a member of KPFA. What I would like to see is, you know, following the steps of like Hard Knock, radio, apprenticeship program, Flashpoints even, they'd say, we don't care. It's not about premiums. It's just, come on, sign up, be a member, be a participant. Let's go. But I think that we could easily begin an online membership program. So if we said to somebody, hey, look, man, give us $50, and then you can go online. You don't have to own the DVD, because most of those premiums, a lot of them, people only look at them one time. Or if it's a recording, you listen to it once or you hand it off to somebody. But if you could go, and as a teacher, think about it. If you could go to a site online and say, look, yeah, I paid my $50 this year. Let me go, and I can look at this DVD. I can look at that. I can listen to this radio show. I can see that, you know, KPFA fundraising events, the Van Jones speech or the Jane Fonda or whatever. I think that maybe it's time to think about a strategy that involves, instead of a few high-priced premiums, let's go broad. And let's try to double our membership based on a much lower standard for membership, that you don't have to pay $150. $50 will get you content and get you hooked into this community of of listeners, this community of KPFA and Pacifica. So I think it's really important. I gave that proposal to the Pacifica board when they met here in Berkeley last summer, and I'm hoping to push that plan if I get another term on the LSB.
Thank you, Andrea Pritchett. Now, Ms. Wipperman.
Well, yes, I agree, Ken. This is a problem, not only for young people, but a lot of low-income people. And I'm going to let out a little secret that not very many people know. This will only benefit, of course, people that are in the immediate area. But when we have on-air fundraising, if you were to come in and volunteer in the phone room, not only can you earn enough hours to pay for your membership without putting down cash, but you can also, if you're a phone room regular or frequent volunteer, you can purchase some of the premiums. Now, this does not include commercially produced books or CDs, but the things that are produced by KPFA, the recordings of speeches of the luminaries who visit us, you can very cheaply purchase these. And I have done this myself. But I think this is one thing that's immediately available to youth and low-income listeners. And I agree, we still need to work on fundraising and think of some other alternatives for the way that we are engaging with premiums that we give people over, you know, when we're doing fundraising. But that's one thing that an interested listener could do right away.
Thank you. That was Barbara Wipperman. Now to Mr. Alderson.
Sure. Well, KPFA does offer low-income rates. It has prisoner subscriptions and so forth, and I think those are great. But I think we also need to recognize that the average pledge, I mean, going back to empirical data here, the average pledge is about $100. And what's happening is the people who make the bigger pledges are subsidizing those who can't afford to do that. And that's fine. That's fine. I don't think there's any problem with that. But I do think we can't, this model of trying to run station on, you know, low-income pledges or minimal pledges, not going to work. We can't make it that way. Fundraising is critical, and development is critical. The station has been working with an organization to develop ways of raising money, but fundamentally, it goes back to the problem of retaining our listeners. We have lost some very important bequests, you know, people who donate or make bequests in their will to KPFA because they pulled them because they were disgusted with what had been happening at KPFA. The morning show is another example where the morning show raised more money than it cost. And with that money, we were able to subsidize things like low-income memberships and, you know, prisoner subscriptions and that sort of thing. And that was killed again by the intervention of Pacifica. And that goes back to this issue of local control, which I fundamentally disagree is any kind of, you know, Republican light notion or going back to the sort of, you know, the states' rights stuff that people, seem to paint it as. It goes back to what is going on in our community, and the station knows what's going on in the community, and the station knows what works. And if we want to be able to subsidize people who have low-income memberships, we need to be able to, you know, rely on our strengths and not be jerked around by people who aren't here locally in the community. There's an excellent analysis of KPFA's finances and Pacifica's finances at www.savekpfa.org, and I would urge people to go there and take a look at it.
Thank you, Mr. Alderson. Thank you. We have a question, I believe, from Paul.
Yes.
Hi, Paul.
I have a question that's fundamental both to increasing listenership and the mission statement. The question simply is, what do you plan to do to put KPFA at the vanguard of political, intellectual, and artistic discourse?
Okay, thank you. That question is going to go first to Ms. Pritchett.
Oh, what do I do to plan to put KPFA at the vanguard of political discourse? I'm not really sure what that means. I think that KPFA needs to be relevant. And I think it needs to be relevant. I think relevance will come through our relationship with communities and constituencies. So I guess that's what I plan to do, and that's what I've been trying to do. I think that, you know, KPFA, I think sometimes there's sort of this notion. I think there's some people who really love public affairs programming here at KPFA, and there is some awesome analysis. There is some great public affairs programming. But you know what? I'm also a musician, and I also have come to understand the incredible value of culture. Culture is really important. Music is really important. And I think that KPFA is a place where we have to have a lot of balance. You know, I don't think it can be that anybody's going to get all of what they want at KPFA. I think the willingness to allow other things to happen that may not be your number one choice. So I don't know whose vanguard you're talking about. I think that's a relative term. But I think the real challenge for us is that we do have to figure out some processes that we can all agree on and be willing to abide by them. And so when I hear things like, you know, this notion of local control, I'm waiting to see the proposals and the amendments to the bylaws that these folks who are saying we want local control, does that mean you want the end of Pacifica? You want Pacifica to stop being a network? Because Pacifica has the license to KPFA. And so I don't understand what local control is. And I'd love to see some real concrete there. I'd like to see what you really propose in terms of making that happen, because I think it's some kind of rhetoric, and I don't think it's real.
Thank you. That was Andrea Pritchett. Now to Ms. Whipperman.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Paul's probably quoting directly from the mission statement, and I didn't get it all down, but it was three items: the vanguard of political something and cultural broadcasting. And I agree that all of those things are still relevant and very important. I think that the communications on the board are very difficult, and I think that that's one of the things that has to be improved. As far as this business of local control, it does not mean, when Save KPFA is stating this, that we only have local programming or local viewpoint. That's not it at all. And it isn't that we want Pacifica to go away. We think it should be less domineering. It needs to have a better job description than it's adopted in the last few years. It needs to be more helpful to the network of stations and not the hard-hitting overseer. And it needs definitely to be more involved in fundraising for the network. That is one thing that it really has not been involved in sufficiently to my way of thinking.
Who's next? Thank you. That was Barbara Whipperman. Next is Mr. Alderson. Okay, then we're going to go to Mr. Shoup.
To some extent, Paul, KPFA is on the vanguard of political, intellectual, and cultural discourse. To some extent, KPFA is. What kind of institution or what other radio station or television station would you say is more in the vanguard? Now, that's not to say that we couldn't do much better, because I think we could do much better. And that's why I've been, you know, and I've said it several times, but I have to say it again, having a program council that was representative of various forces in the community, that was trying to reach out to the vanguard elements in the community and being creative. I think that's the way that we need to be going, to reach out to our listenership and all those people that are creative people in our community, and there are lots of them, and try to bring them into the station in various kinds of ways as supporters and as participants in our programming. Having that program council is crucial, and the people that are running this local station board now have just let that go by and have ignored it. And another thing, the bylaws say, and it has been stated that the local station board doesn't have much control over a program council, but the bylaws state that the local station board is supposed to evaluate the program director every year, annually. Well, if you don't have a program director, obviously you can't evaluate that. So they failed to follow the bylaws of the Pacifica that we're supposed to be following by not having a program director and a program council. That could deal with it. So I think there's a positive thing here. The KPFA is on the vanguard, but we could do a lot better. And you're right about trying to do a lot better. We should.
Thank you. That was Lori Shoup. I want to apologize for dropping the call with Mr. Alderson. Mr. Alderson, you have the mic.
Sure. And I apologize for dropping the call here. So our goal, in my view, is to change people's minds. If we want to change the world, we have to get out and reach people. And I believe we do that not by preaching to the converted. And I believe we do that not by yelling at people. I believe we do that by offering facts and information and analysis that people can use to go out and be active. Now, we have lots of people who are skilled and knowledgeable, and what I would like to, on our staff, and what I would like to see is developing those skills of our programmers and our interviewers. I would like to see training, ongoing training, so that people can be as good as they can be, and especially evaluation. We need a process to be able to, you know, evaluate the shows, so that we can make sure that that we're presenting this information in a way that's intelligible to people and that people can use. We have a program council. It needs to be fully implemented. It has not been fully implemented yet. The people who are in the station are as much a part of the community as anybody else. And so, you know, we can use that to develop new ideas. The apprenticeship program, I think, is a great program for bringing up new talent. And I think we need a way for identifying bright people, talented people who are coming through the apprenticeship program and who are also out in the community.
30
and
seconds.
Bringing them in. One thing I think would be really great is for KPFA to have some spaces in our programming that allow for innovative, cutting-edge programming or one-off shows, short series, something like that, that provide new space, new voices, but don't disrupt the programming that our other listeners have come to depend on. That would be a great way to stay fresh and to stay sharp and to be at that vanguard of political and
intellectual. Thank you, Mr. Alderson. Thank you. That's all the time that we have for call-in questions. I want to give each candidate an opportunity to wrap up 30 seconds, starting with Ms. Whipperman.
I think of the things that have been discussed tonight, there's two or three that I'd like to go back to in my closing remarks. And one of them is that there is a body that we haven't mentioned that is totally separate from KPFA but is very attached, and that is the Community Advisory Board. And there are people going to be appointed to them. Oh, dear, I guess I haven't enough time to say the other things. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Ms. Weberman. To you, Mr. Alderson, 30 seconds.
Sure. Well, the people who support KPFA are passionate, they're involved, they're thoughtful, and they're committed. And we've seen that with the hundreds and hundreds of letters that people have written in protest of the cancellation of the morning show. These people are the foundation of KPFA, and I think that's something we need to respect. We need to speak to those people, and we need to speak to the communities that they're in.
Thank you, Mr. Alderson.
No, that wasn't the end of this time. I was just 10 seconds.
Now to Mr. Shoup.
it as an important community resource for over 60 years. We need to redouble our efforts to unify KPFA workers into one big union with equality and solidarity for all, to involve listeners more actively with community forums, a program council, and creative fundraising. We also need to develop a more collaborative relationship with Pacifica and all four of the other community radio stations nationwide. Vote UnitedForCommunityRadio.org. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was Lawrence Shoup. And now Ms. Pritchett.
Well, I just want to encourage listeners to vote for a board, you know, based on what you believe, but also we've got to get along with each other. And I just really would love for us to understand that here at a free speech radio station where diverse views are encouraged, I would like folks to just remember that it's okay to respect folks who have a different point of view. We don't have to get down into the mud. We can all raise each other up and really save this station, and that's what I'm hoping for. So please vote for United for Community Radio, and let's see if we can make that happen.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank all the candidates. I want to thank the call-in listeners as well. Also, I want to take a minute to remind the listener that the ballots are due by December 11th, and if you have already mailed in your ballot without having first heard from the candidates and would like a new ballot, or if you have questions about tonight's forum, then please contact me at election@kpfa.org. I am Aaron Morris, the election supervisor. Or leave a message at 510-848-6767, extension 212. You may also contact the help desk at Election Services directly to request a replacement ballot. This includes any of you who, for some reason, have not yet received your ballot. That toll-free number, 866-720-4357. Thank you for listening to this, the third of five debates. Please stay tuned for the next to air immediately.